Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Laura. Really appreciate you leading us along there again today. Let's go back to Romans chapter 12. But also at the same time, you may want to stick your finger in 1 John chapter 4 because we're going to get there. Just speaking of this, the Bible tells me so. I don't know. Many of you remember a time, a number of decades ago, when the evangelist, Dr. Billy Graham, and a colleague of his, Charles Templeton, had discussions, and it came to the place. You know, it's almost like we're raised in church, perhaps, if you were, and you heard about Jesus, and you went because, well, sometimes you had to. It was just part of family life. And then you get to the point that it gets old because I just do it because mom and dad did it. And it needs to become very personal for me to continue to follow Jesus. And it's almost like Charles Templeton and Billy Graham had that type of moment where while they were both evangelists, preaching the gospel, telling the good news of Jesus, they came to a place in their life where Charles Templeton decided that he did not believe it anymore. And he was going to leave the Christian faith. And he sat down with Billy Graham and sought to convince him to get your eyes open and realize reality here. And through Billy Graham, deep in prayer, seeking God's face and saying, God, what do you want me to do here? And what is true? And so on. And after prayer and committing his life to God, he came up with this affirmation that I believe the Bible. That's what Charles Templeton chose to depart from. And so when we sing a hymn like Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So, this is an affirmation of where we stand, and it's a very important one in the Christian community. We actually have absolutely no idea of what hope or forgiveness or anything else is unless God told us through His Word. And so we affirm today that God indeed loves us. This is what we know from Scripture. I think it's entirely appropriate that our culture chooses to have another special day to celebrate something that is very special within our communities. And of course, when you celebrate Valentine's Day, it is a day when we are reminded that there needs to be intentional acts. It's not all about feeling like doing it. Intentional acts of showing love to one another. And I was listening to a discussion on the radio the other day, and part of it was, well, why is it always the men have to do this? You know, why can't it be the other way too? And in many of our families, I mean, I got chocolate as well as my wife got chocolate. So it is two ways. But this act of intentionally making a choice to express love is a good idea. And so we would affirm, certainly, the issue of sharing love with one another. But as we mentioned at the beginning here, God knew our human need. And He created us in such a way that that human need demands attention. And what that means is we all sense the need to be loved. This do a big picture moment, and we've mentioned this before at times, and for those of you who are guests, we just finished Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy in 5 weeks. But we talked in Genesis about this whole creation thing. And in creation, we as human beings are created with a number of things. They all start with R. We are created as a representation. We are created in God's image. And when I look at you, or I look at you, or you look at me, there is a sense in which you see the image of God represented in me. And I see the image of God represented in you, even by your physical form, your psychological makeup, and all those living things God breathed into us, the breath of life. We are a living representation of God. But then God also created us with rationality. That is the ability to reason above every other creation that God has given. We are created to reign. In other words, I don't mean reign from heaven. I mean to rule over things. That's why God told Adam and Eve, you are to control the earth. You subdue it. You reign here. And even in Leviticus, we talked about the fact that God has called us to be a kingdom, a priest, and kings. And there is a sense that within our lives, God wants us to control life, not have life control us. And that freedom is a God thing. And then beyond that, we are created to reproduce. Fill the earth, said God to Adam and Eve, and certainly it has happened. But that brings us to relationships. Because out of that reproduction, the relationships that have been formed have to do with Adam not being alone. God said that's not a good thing. And so he created Eve. And then he created marriage. And he created families when children were born. And so on down the line. So what we affirm today is, right from the beginning, our concept of what it means to love one another is not just a feeling and an oopy-goopy thing from our culture. We see it from a biblical point of view. Our worldview is God is love, and therefore God brought our being about, and we are created for relationships, which means that being a representation of God's image, we love as he has first loved us. So this is where it all begins from a biblical worldview. And in those relationships, as we read this morning in Psalm chapter 68 and verse 6, God has set the lonely in families. So we affirm today, in celebrating Valentine's week, that indeed the Creator's nature is represented in the creature's need. God being love created in us the need to be loved. And relationships are very important. Now let's just zero in a little bit in terms of what we want to talk about today. The Christ followers' character and their conduct is directly to represent the character of our Father, which art in heaven. Let's go over to 1 John chapter 4, where we had talked a few minutes ago. I said, just stick your finger in here. Down around verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And of course, the next verse tells us how God showed his love to us by sending his Son. And then he says in verse 11, dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made perfect in us. Down farther in the chapter, verse 19, we love because he first loved us. What we're really getting down to here is that the motivation from a Christian perspective comes because I love because I have been loved. And how many people have we noticed who are just unloving toward others? And if you look farther into their background, you find out they didn't have a very good example of a loving dad, or something that happened in the past that really warped their sense of what it means to find friendship and love and belonging and being wanted and being accepted and approved and all this. So very intentionally, we do affirm today that the very character of God is to be seen in those who are the children of God. He is love. We are to love as well. When we come here to Romans, this is a very practical portion talking to us about relationships that grow. And so I just want to deal with two or three things as we look at this today. Now remember, Romans itself follows the very same line of thinking. In Romans, here's a snapshot of the gospel or the book of Romans. In Romans, we have the reason for the good news about Jesus. The reason is sin. We have a righteousness that comes through the gospel, through God's Son. We have a section there, verse chapters 9 through 11. You reject this gospel, like Israel did, then you will suffer separation from God. If you receive this gospel, chapters 12 through 16, then you will experience salvation or deliverance from sin. But it's bigger than that. It isn't just a matter of having my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. It is a matter of having my life changed because of what Jesus has done, so that salvation involves me being delivered from myself, as we said last week. And so I've learned not to sin by relying on the love that God has for me and the strength that He provides. And by even not sinning, I preserve my life from the consequences that sin can bring. But in a very positive sense, my life is enriched when I choose to reflect the character of my Heavenly Father. And this is why it has the word love right before verse 19 in your NIV Bible. We need to be those who reflect God's character, and this is one of the ways we are to do it. Now, in the next, these verses that Alwyn read this morning, what I noticed was, when I sat down to think through this a bit, is it's very hard to put these next few verses in a theological sermon outline. It just seems like he's coming rapid fire at us with all kinds of commands and suggestions and the way to go, how to think, what to do. And he's just coming like this left and right. And the little picture, apart from being a machine gun and its influence, is he is putting those dots in place again. Like, do this, don't do this, be careful of this, watch out for this, go here, do this, you know, don't forget to do this to one another. And when we look at all these commands and the instructions and directions in these few verses, he's saying, get the picture. Just get it. Get it. And live it. And so we're just going to go through this, and we're going to talk about relationships that grow in a very simple way. First of all, I would say that when we read down through here, we see that relationships grow as we are godlike. And this comes out in verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, or cling to what is good. It reminds me of Hebrews 1:9. And by the way, a lot of these scriptures or commands here have to do with other scriptures that are all through the Bible. And so Paul is drawing from a whole library of commands that he knows, and he's just firing them at us, saying, this is what it means to love one another. Just get it. Get all this. You need all of it, because this is completeness and this is unity. But when he says you need to cling to what is good and you need to hate what is evil, it reminds me of Hebrews 1:9, because Jesus himself, it says there, hated wickedness and he loved righteousness. And therefore, he was anointed with the oil of joy. Part of being godlike is that we have learned to walk with God, even if nobody else around us does. I choose to follow Jesus. I don't call myself necessarily a Christian, because everybody uses that. I am a Christ follower. That is more definitive. It means that I've made a choice every day to follow Jesus, whether you're watching me or not. And so in my attitudes, as well as in my actions, I want it to be seen in the eyes of God that I am sincere, that I do hate wickedness, and I do love righteousness. Now that's a journey to get used to, because that isn't our natural bent. But this is where loving relationships begin. Being like Jesus. And as we go on here, and it says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love and honor one another above yourselves. The issue is that when I love Christ, I am motivated to be devoted to that which God loves. Loving one another is like Philippians chapter 2, because it is written by Paul there, you know, don't just give attention to your own things, but give attention also to the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on in that great passage to say that he loved us, he became a servant, came to planet Earth. He loved us even farther than that. He went to the cross. And God honored him. That was all an act of love. God so loved that he gave. And Jesus gave himself. So loving relationships or growing relationships really begin with my personal, I need to be intentional. It is my goal to be godlike, to follow him, whatever. I have decided to follow Jesus. And it's so determined, and we're so devoted to it, that as the hymn writer says, though no one go with me, still I will follow. And many of us in our home lives that we grew up in, or in the workplace, or at school, you may find that nobody's going with you in this one. And there has to be a determination that I will follow Jesus alone if necessary. But that's the beginning. That's the root. That's where I am loving God, walking with God, experiencing the freedom of being loved. And that sets me up for loving other people. May the mind of Christ, my Savior, dwell in me from day to day. That's an old hymn. And so having this mindset is very important. And I believe that all relationships that grow start with following the example that God loved me. And therefore, I have the privilege of loving other people. It is intentional. It is a choice. And I can grow in this. In every opportunity, I need to be a giver. And I need to love people. It needs to be the order of my life. It needs to be my response to God. So that's where it all begins. Any relationship that's going to grow from a Christian worldview, we believe, starts with being godlike ourselves. So it flows from within us. Love doesn't happen just when I'm loved, but it flows from within us, even to those who are unlovely and are our enemies. Big start. Secondly, I would say here that love or relationships grow as we are steadfast. Because when we come down here to verse 14, there seems to be a bit of a switch. And that is that some people are not easy to love. And some people are very difficult. And so when you see here, bless those who persecute you. Now, we're not in the first century where your life may be on the line, but some people just don't like people who follow Jesus. And so what will our response be? It needs to be with God. We don't just set God aside and say, I'll handle this guy on my own. We have others who do not sympathize with what it means to have the values and the views of a Christ follower. And there will be a clashing. And so in that culture, they were cautioned, bless and do not curse. When I thought of that, I thought, ooh, I need to watch my mouth. Anybody here with me? You get somebody who doesn't like you? You need to watch your mouth. You need to... 1 Peter chapter 3. When they insulted Jesus, what does it say that he did? He did not retaliate. He opened not his mouth. And we need to be very careful about what we say when we're with difficult people. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. That speaks of adaptability in any situation that could be either good or bad from a human perspective. Live in harmony with one another and do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everybody. Now that goes back to the fact that I've already made a decision to be God-like. And out of that desire to walk with God, and ultimately my attitudes and my actions are seen first in God's eyes, out of that motivation, then I will obey God even when it comes to being with difficult people. I was sharing with someone yesterday a real old poem, and some of you remember it. And it went something like this. To live above with those we love, oh, that will be glory. To live below with those we know, that's a different story. You know, you've all heard that one. You got to live with somebody here, and it could be not so easy. Not that I would be difficult to live with, you know, so, and don't look at my wife now, okay? But you get what I say, you know? James says we all stumble in many ways. And so whether we're talking about those who don't want to follow Jesus, or even the family of God, sometimes it's not easy. And we have to watch our mouth. And we have to watch against being destructive. Or demeaning, or not commending. And I guess as I go on and become more seasoned, I think that's the route I'm going, I find that commendation goes a lot farther than criticism. And I'm a critical thinker, and I think you are too. We need to think through what's right, what's wrong, this is good, this is bad. This is wise, this is not. But so often, if you're like me, I want to be an open person. I want to be transparent. And so often I would say that if you don't know what I'm thinking, just ask me if I haven't told you already. But sometimes that's dangerous. I'm learning that. Not everybody wants to know what's in my heart going to my mouth and coming out so quickly. And so learning not to wear my heart on my sleeve. Learning when to watch what I say and take time to think, is this the best thing and the best time and the wisest way to state maybe even what needs to be said? And so I hope that I'm becoming more seasoned in doing that and less impulsive. Impulsiveness, taking revenge. I'm just going to be honest and give them a piece of my mind, even when we can't afford to give a piece of our mind away. You know, all those types of things. Relationships grow when I am steadfast. I am not so geared by my emotions. I am listening to God. I want to be like God. God-like. Follow Jesus. And steadfast means I'm just not going to blurt out, and I'm just not going to jump, and I'm just not going to take revenge quickly. I am going to leave room for God and leave room for prayer. And God, help me through this. And God, help me not to respond like I want to. Because, I mean, I grew up in a family of ruffians. And it's like, you want to play ball? We're going to take your head off. Okay. I had red hair once, to those of you who are here. But the issue is that we are under the control of the Holy Spirit. And God, I just love music playing when I'm preaching. It must be a God thing. But I'm learning to be more steadfast, I think. And though steadfast, this means I'm steadfast in obeying God, who loves me and who teaches me in a variety of ways, in a variety of opportunities, even when they grate on me, still to be a man of peace, to love, to obey God in the middle of a situation where everybody else perhaps is coming a bit unglued. And that's why he says there, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. And if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everybody. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to repay, and I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Just last year, I was in a situation in trucking, because I run into attitudes all the time, and sometimes people find out somehow that you're a pastor. Well, for some, being a pastor isn't a good thing. And what could they ever know about a truck? I've been around 45 years. Of course, they don't ask me what I know after being around 44 years as a pastor. But nonetheless, snide remarks. And it's almost like, there they go, stupid again. And I heard one of those remarks. And so, by God's grace, I kept my mouth shut. I reacted in a godly way. I chose to take opportunity in that situation because this person didn't really know me. Others knew me and they understood what I do and how I do it and were comfortable, but this person didn't know they were critical. And I just chose over the next while to, when I met them, say, thank you for looking out for me there. You do so well at that. I saw you using that piece of machinery. I just stood back and I mean, you know how to really do that. And you know, I watched over 2 or 3 months where this person could carry on an intelligent conversation with me. And inside, I'm living the dream. I'm overcoming. I'm not going to give in to this. I'm going to commend. I'm not going to be critical back. 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And so my last little thing would say this, that relationships that grow, they grow as we do good. God first, steadfast. And being steadfast, I will hate what is evil and I will cling to what is good. And in doing so, I bring love, I trust, into the relationships that I will be involved in. Now, I have one more thought. Even Jesus himself, who was perfect loved and loved to the nth degree of laying down his life, He loved so much, but not everybody loved him back. That is reality. And we can represent Jesus so well and live for him and shine in the workplace. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Let it shine. Let the love of Christ shine through you, and let the character of God be represented there. And you can do everything right. You can respond to every situation as you should as a Christian. But that doesn't mean that that person will accept you or grow to love you in return. Now what do? I maintain my steadfastness. I will have a sense of being an overcomer. I will not let that person control my life. If I allow, we talked about this a while back, if I allow that person, whether they're in the workplace, a school, or in my home or family, to cause me to sin, my problem at that point is not with that person. My problem is with God. Because it means that I have chosen to do it my way versus being God-like and listening to God and doing what God wants me to do. And if need be, God commanding me to do certain things, because if I'm not careful in this situation, I'm going to forget. And I'm going to take matters into my own hands, and they're going to get a piece of my mind that I can't afford to give away. Okay? I need to be an overcomer. And there may come a place that relationships that grow won't. And as much as we would love to win over, and we would love to enter in and be liked by that person or anybody, it may not happen. Now what do? Relationships that grow will grow as we continue to do good. And the relationship that may grow in that situation and has already been seen to grow is my relationship with God. And that person may never love me. They may never like me. They may not have a good word to say. If I died, they would be satisfied. But if I have maintained my original intent to be God-like, and I have been steadfast, and I have become an overcomer, and I live in victory, and I am not controlled by that person, I have the joy of the Holy Spirit in my life because I hate wickedness and I love righteousness, and I'm going to walk with God in spite of that person, then I am the one who's experienced growth in a relationship. My relationship with God. And I need to leave vengeance with the Lord. I want to be an overcomer. Jesus said, I come that you might have life. Yep, eternal life through him. But life to the full. And I want to be that person. I want to shine like mad. I want to have a quality of life that is different. And it is different because I know Jesus. God has called us to loving relationships and to grow. But it all starts with God, and it means planting the feet sometimes and saying, I am going to obey, and I want to be an overcomer. I think we all do. May God help us in this. Let's stand together and sing this prayer. Oh, to be like thee. Again, for those who are visiting with us today, we hope that you can join us for lunch downstairs. And we're going to give thanks for that lunch now, so that when we go down, we can just dig in. Let's eat. Let's pray first. Okay. Heavenly Father, some of us have had a different journey than we've talked about today. And so often along the way, even in the name of God, we thought we could do a better job than you. And so we confess that we need your help. And today we need your help to represent you well by loving one another as you've called us to. So by your Spirit, yes, fill our hearts with your love and empower us to be the kind of people in our homes, in our marriages, in our relationships as grandpa and grandma, in our workplace, at school. Help us to not hide our light under a bushel, but to represent you well in being a people who love and love from God's point of view. We thank you that part of this is being a part of the family of God. And today, now we're going to go and eat together and enjoy fellowship. We pray that that will be an encouraging time. Pray it will be a fun time. We thank you for the food that's been prepared for us. We ask that as we fellowship together, that you will bless this food to us, that you will strengthen us. In Jesus' name, amen.